Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, it's the Morning Show with John and you on Sports Radio 90 Time the Game, broadcasting all across the world on radio.com. Hope you're having a great Tuesday here. Going to be a lot of fun. Big day for the NFL. We'll get into that with the NFL opening up a lot of its, not all of its team facilities, Hugh Douglas, just a lot of them, because there are some that aren't open yet and may open in the next, you know, week to 10 days or so by the end of the month here. But it will be interesting to see how many players come back. And, you know, I know that there are going to be no coaches there. But again, baby steps, right? I mean, at least we get the NFL play for the first time in 2 months. We're getting NFL players showing up at their facilities.
Yeah, man, we're trying to get back to normal, and we're trying to do the best that we possibly can to get to that. So this is a start. That's how you got to look at it. It's a start.
All right, we're going to do some stuff here in this hour. We're going to have Will Haskell coming up in about 20 minutes. He's going to kind of walk us through what we can expect this weekend from this match with Tiger and Peyton Manning and Phil and Tom Brady, and kind of recap a little bit of the match that just happened, which didn't come off, I don't think, as they had hoped. It got great ratings, but it was not exactly stellar TV. But that's okay. I mean, we're just, again, trying to get back into the flow of things here. And so, you know, I give everybody credit. You know, you get a little gold star if you're trying, Hugh, you know?
I mean, yeah, especially now. And you have to realize that we're in a part – we're in the phase now where we're still trying to figure out how to navigate all of this stuff that we're navigating right now. We're trying to figure out how to get it all done. So, yeah, it's a little bit of that as well.
All right, so Will Haskett will join us in about 20 minutes, and we'll talk about that from him. All right, we're going to do a little rapid fire this morning. Oren, and you guys kind of ready here? I want to throw some stuff at you. You ready?
Sure.
Ready.
Okay.
Let's do it. Ready.
Let's do this. Hugh Douglas, a little rapid fire. Have some fun this morning. Will the pandemic, Hugh Douglas, force a team – we're going to call it the five major sports, NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, MLS, NHL, those five. Will the pandemic force a team in the five major sports in the United States to move permanently or to fold?
To move permanently? No. I would say no.
Oren, will the pandemic force a team in the five major sports to move permanently or to fold?
Move permanently. No. Fold, possibly, but nobody's going to move. Either they're going to stop playing or they're going to – yeah, that's going to be it.
Looking at a team here, Abe, will the pandemic force a team to move permanently or to fold?
I don't think so. I would say no.
Yeah, I think the only concern I have is some of the lower-level MLS teams, and if they just simply run out of money –
like a CBA where they collectively they revenue share, don't they? Isn't it kind of like the NFL?
Yeah, a little bit, but you're also talking about ownership that doesn't have a whole lot of money in reserve, not a lot of cash.
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying, but I would think to fold that means like to go away. I don't think they're.
You know, it's actually kind of interesting you bring that up, John, because you've got a couple teams that are kind of waiting to be expansion cities. You could just transfer, and if something goes real south, you really could just transfer the entire roster of a team to a Nashville who's waiting for a team, or say a Miami. I mean, there might be ways to do that. I still say no, but there, it may not be as far fetched as I first thought.
All right, well, we'll see if this has any fallout here, too. Question number two, Hugh Douglas. The first American pro event. Now, we know that we have PGA going on. We have, or at least the PGA will start June 11th, but we have some PGA events going on. We have NASCAR now underway. We'll have another race tomorrow night. UFC is underway. WWE is underway. Horse racing. Churchill Downs over the weekend opened up. There are a lot of tracks that are open here. The first American pro event to open for, air quotes, a few fans in the stands will be the PGA, NASCAR, UFC, WWE, or horse racing.
Boy, that's a pretty good list.
Which one opens to a few fans first?
To a few fans first. I would probably say, what was my choice again? WWE, horse racing.
UFC.
UFC.
NASCAR, golf, or horse racing.
I'm going to say WWE. I'm going to say the WWE. WWE or UFC. One of the
two. Orin, which one opens to a few fans first?
I'm going to say horse racing just because of how many states it's in, one, and then two. You don't necessarily – the other ones are sort of driven on more than just a few fans. Like, you need bigger-type crowds. It's good to have a spattering of folks in the stands at a horse racing event, and you'll still be okay. It's not going to make or break it.
Abe, which one will open to a, air quote, few fans first?
I'm going to say NASCAR. I think the sizes of those stadiums, the grandstands, you can very, very easily and effectively have a full social distancing with thousands of people still in attendance. So I'm going to say NASCAR.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see which one does. And you know, NASCAR, horse racing, you know, big venues like that. I'm actually going to say golf because I think you can socially distance. It wouldn't shock me. Guys, the first event's going to be, you know, no fans, June the 11th in Dallas-Fort Worth. Maybe the next event after that, I mean, because you could put fans and lock them down. Say, like, for example, you could say, okay, you're going to the 18th green, and we're going to have 30 people at the 18th green or 50 people at the 18th green. Plus, with golf, you have, Hugh, all these corporate sponsors that buy these big tents and do all the entertaining that they do in golf. Because that's what all those really highfalutin, you know, fancy-dancy things that you see out there are, these corporate tents. And the corporate sponsors are going to be putting a lot of pressure on the PGA Tour, so because, you know, they give them a lot of money. Uh-huh. So I'm going to guess golf. That's just a guess.
That's a good guess. I mean, it's kind of hard to say, but I would say that's a good guess, really good guess.
All right, we go to the next one. This is the last question about fans here. Hugh, when the NFL's regular season opens, it'll be Houston at Kansas City on Thursday, September the 10th, all right? Houston at Kansas City, Thursday, September the 10th. We're talking about regular season here. How many fans will be at Arrowhead Stadium? 0, 5,000, 35,000, or sold out? 0, 5,000, 35,000, or sold out?
I'm going to say 5,000.
Orin, how many fans will be at Arrowhead Stadium when the NFL's regular season opens between Houston and Kansas City? 0, 5,000, 35,000, sold out?
It's just like The Price is Right, where I can't go over or under. It has to be the exact. I can't do either one.
There's no prize here, so no, there's
I'd be more inclined to go less than 35,000, but more than five. But I'll say five.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying. If you want to give me another figure, that's fine. I just had to pick a few here.
You only gave us so many figures, John.
Pick any figure. How many fans? All right, you pick your own number. But what do you think there, Abe? 0, 5,000, 35,000 sold out.
Yeah, I'm kind of with the rest of the guys. I mean, based on the number, I would probably say 10 or 15,000, but definitely not 30,000 in my opinion. So out of those numbers, I'd say the five is probably closest.
Yeah, I think the only one that's out on this is sold out, Hugh. I to get to a full fan thing where it's just, you know, hey, everybody show up kind of thing. I think we may be a ways away from that. Just a guess.
And then, you know, it's going to be funny, John, because now, you know, you're talking about having limited the number of fans. Which fans get to go? You know what I mean? Because you're going to have to make a decision. Like, you know, who gets premium seating? Who gets seating? Is that box seating? The people who own boxes, do they get to sit and watch the game? And how does that work? Because that's what we're talking about. It's only going to be the privilege. The privilege are going to the game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's like, I guess that's how they're going to make it out. If you got box seats, you get tickets, or you get the opportunity to go. The ones, the diehards get to go.
Do a little rapid fire here. All right. So, this is to the, actually, in a way, to the horse racing is going to have fans first because Casinos in Louisiana opened yesterday in Shreveport and places like that where you have casinos. So the casinos in Louisiana opened yesterday. Which are you, Hugh Douglas, least likely to do in the next calendar year? Which are you least likely to do in the next calendar year? Your options are this. Gamble in a casino, go to a movie in a theater, attend a theme park, or eat at a buffet.
Damn, John. I mean, you know how much I like buffets, too. I'm gonna say,
you want to think about it for a second?
I'm going to say gamble at a casino. I'm going to say eat at a buffet. I'm going to go with eat at a buffet because I'm not going to a casino to gamble. That's not what I'm doing. So I'm going to say more than likely I'm not eating at a buffet. I'm not doing the buffet anymore. Not for a
while. All right. Oren, what are you least likely to do in the next year? Gamble in a casino, go to a movie in a theater, attend a theme park, or eat at a buffet?
Probably go to a theme park just because there's so many variables. Like, within a confined space of a buffet, a movie theater, those are stuff you can regulate a whole lot. Six Flags is big as hell. That's the biggest thing on that list. And you mean to tell me that they'll be able to? Nah, I just, there's too many variables in that.
Yeah, Disneyland is starting to open up parts of its park already down in Florida, so we'll see how that kind of works out for them. So, Abe, what are you least likely to do in the next year? Gamble in a casino? And I'm not talking about, I just don't generally gamble, period. I'm just talking about if you do all these things, understanding, right? Gamble in a casino, go to a movie in a theater, attend a theme park, or eat at a buffet.
I mean, I would say three of those I actively have plans to do, and one of those I don't think I would do even if we didn't have a pandemic going on. I can't tell you the last time I've been to a theme park. I'm planning to go to Vegas. I'm probably going to eat at a buffet. And you know, if a movie comes out that I want to see, I'm going to see that. I have zero plans to go to a theme park either way. So theme park is probably the least likely for me to end up at.
Now, notwithstanding the fact to you, Douglas, that of this list, gambling in a casino, again, casinos are open. Movie theaters are now open in certain places. Theme parks are starting to open. But that eat at a buffet that you said you wouldn't do, I don't know you. Maybe there's a new way to do a buffet, but I'm going to be really interested.
Listen, John, I've seen the kids at the Chocolate Waterfall. Uh-huh. I've seen them. I'm not taking that chance. I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait a little while. I'm gonna wait, you know, before I start doing all of that. But I'm not eating at the buffet.
Right. I said to you the other day that, you know, I saw the sign on the Golden Corral last time I was down in Kennesaw. There's a Golden Corral right there on Barrett Parkway, and it said reopening June 4th. And I thought, okay, I may just, you know, pop my head in there if for no other reason than I'm just kind of curious as to how they're doing this. Because
just to be nosy.
Yeah, just to be nosy.
You run around being nosy, man.
Yeah. I want to check out the Golden Corral. I want, because I'm curious. I want to know, I mean, are they still doing, because our buffet's gone.
What are you going to do, walk here to say, I don't want anything. I just want to see who is all here so that I know who to stay away from.
Just looking.
Just looking to see who's here. See some of your neighbors. Know to stay away from him. Have a checklist with you. Sorry. You silly, man.
There's Brian. Stay away from Brian.
Damn it, Brian. Okay.
Frankie's over here like Michael Jordan ever since then. He's been on my list.
Yeah, basically. Why did you have to go to the Golden Corral? We can't be friends anymore.
I'm just curious as to, you know, our buffet's dead. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, they may be for a while.
You know, I was just talking to Oren about the buffet at Whole Check, and when are they going to get right. That going again? Because, boy, I kind of missed that brisket that they had.
Well, I know that at the Ingles, they had the salad bar and the hot food bar, and they had all kinds of good stuff on that. That thing been gone for a long time. You know, that just, they nixed that thing, took that out. That don't exist. The Ingles doesn't have it, which is a shame because I loved it. It's a little pricey, but had a lot of great stuff on it. Anyway, morning show with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Will Haskett, Sirius XM PGA Tour radio broadcaster, to tell us what we can expect from the match between Brady, Manning, Tiger, and Phil, and whether or not it'll be, we hope, better TV than we saw this weekend. We'll pick his brain as we continue after a CBS Sports Minute. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You know, we were taking a little bit of a wild guess in the rapid fire segment as to which sport will be the first to have a air quotes few live fans. And we had horse racing, WWE as answers. I said golf, and well, let me see if we'll pick the brain of Will Haskett from SiriusXM about whether or not that may be the case here. And we welcome him into the show. Will was able to call the Skins game this weekend. Had to do so from home, though, which is kind of interesting. And he joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Will.
Gentlemen, how are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. So, Will, I have to ask, did you get dressed up to call the game, or did you just wear the top so that you could just show the top and just, you know, walked around with shorts on?
Yeah, no. No dressing at all, Hugh. I, since it's all radio for us, hat was engaged. I went to Butler University. So my alma mater was represented with a nice T-shirt on, but I think I had swim trunks on, to be honest with you, because I was skimming my pool before we went on the air. So it was about as casual as it gets. And not having to go to Florida and not having to travel, my wife is all for remote broadcast the rest of my career.
Yeah, that was kind of an interesting format, you know, with this Skins game. And, of course, it went to the playoff where, you know, down to the final swing and the number one player in the world then wins it. Was it what you expected in terms of, you know, kind of the atmosphere and how it went, or did it surprise you in any way?
You know, it kind of went the way that I expected it to. I mean, you just never really know when – look, they're trying to raise money for charity. The guys are out there because it's really more about the event and what it's doing than necessarily trying to, you know, stroke any sort of competitive fire. And everybody kind of played in the same way that I thought they would. I mean, it was really the first look for a lot of people to see 21-year-old Matthew Wolff. And, you know, he stepped up when he had to hit long drives, but the rest of the day he was kind of all over the place just because I felt like that was going to be the biggest – pressure pack sort of day. You know, Dustin Johnson just kind of, I don't know, sleptwalked through most of it. You know, didn't really feel like it was something that he had really prepped hard for. And Rory McIlroy looked like the number one player in the world, and Ricky Fowler putted lights out. But, you know, you didn't really have four guys that I thought were going to have a whole lot of soundbite sort of banter. It was just more, I think, good to have something that was live and was real and was tangible. As sort of a whetting of the appetite for sports moving forward. And now with the match coming up this weekend, I think could be a lot more interesting just because of who the combatants are crossing over with sports. The format's a little bit different. I think this weekend's way more entertaining, whereas last weekend was just way more looking at people playing golf.
So is it safe to say that you felt like the players, they were hampered by the rust or, you know, the fact that they weren't just enthusiastic about playing the match? Was it one of the two?
I think there's a combination of both, to be honest with you. I mean, I think some guys looked like they were ready to go back and play competitive golf, and others looked like, okay, this is a litmus test for them to sort of see where they were. But, you know, carrying their own bags, the pace of play, which I know a lot of people have said, like, how did it take them over 4 hours to sort of play? I think there were some production elements behind the scenes that actually kind of lengthened it a little bit. But from getting ready to hit golf shots, I mean, those guys were, somebody hit it, the next guy's ready, here, let's go. It just wasn't the same sort of grind vibe, which you're not going to see. I mean, you watch these guys play practice rounds on a Tuesday or Wednesday at a tournament, and, you know, they're going at shots a little bit differently than the focus that there is. And I think that's natural because, you know, people are like, oh my gosh, he had a putt for $1.1 million. Well, it wasn't for $1.1 million for himself, and all the money was going to be divvied out to charity anyway. So I think it was, again, more just having a good time, showing that something could be done, and building momentum to a full restart of tournament golf next month.
Will Haskett called the Skins game for SiriusXM. We'll talk about the match here in just a moment with Brady and Manning and whatnot. But, you know, I wondered a little bit about this Skins game, Will, only because I get the attempt, but it seems to me that when you're going to put something like this together, and you know, good on them to try to put Matthew Wolff in there. By the way, real quick, what is with this Matthew Wolff, Jim Furyk like swing? Where did that come from?
Well, man, that's kind of the reason why he's a TaylorMade guy. So obviously, all four of those guys are involved with TaylorMade in some way, shape, or form. Ricky Fowler plays the ball, and so that was kind of his tie into it with a TaylorMade connection. But, you know, Matthew Wolff just turned 21. He's one of the most decorated college players coming out of Oklahoma State, which is probably the strongest college program. So, I mean, to people who, you know, are diehard golf fans, Matthew Wolff's been on the radar for the last couple of years, but he's a California kid who worked with an instructor by the name of George Gankus, who's kind of become a mythical type of instructional figure in the industry for just his method and all this. And so to have this just crazy swing and generate the power that he has, in this kind of era of trying to bring people to the game to say you can be unique, you can do your own thing and be successful. You know, a lot of people got their first look at the craze that is Matthew Wolf yesterday, and I think that there are some limitations in his game, including what we saw on Sunday with his ability to sort of miss with this kind of high spinning moon ball that he could miss out to the right sometimes because of how he hits it. But there's a lot of marketing power behind what Matthew Wolf was in college and hope they translate. I mean, he won in his fifth start on the PGA Tour last year, you know, so he's got the chops. It's just a question of how sustainable and consistent will it be.
Right. And now you compare that to what we expect this weekend here. One of the things about it is if you're going to do a skins game, the point I was going to make is, you know, you really want to get personalities. And there's no offense. I love Dustin Johnson. He's just not really a personality. He never has been. And so you look at this coming up here with Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. We all know that Peyton Manning is great TV. Tiger's a talker. Phil's a talker. Now, can Brady up his game to be chatting with these guys? But we imagine that there's going to be a lot of smack talk going on in this.
You would hope so. I mean, as much action as we know Phil always likes to have, and then coupled with the fact that the quarterbacks are really going to play a big role in this match. It's not like last week where it's best ball the whole way through and it's skins and you could just see Tiger and Phil going against each other and worried about handicaps. I mean, the back nine's a modified alternate shot. So, I mean, Tom and Peyton are going to actually have to step up and participate and hit shots and be a factor in this. And then, you know, how's the razzing go between partners or across teams in terms of, you know, if Peyton Manning's got to hit a flop shot over a bunker or something like that because of where Tiger has left him or something like that, you know, the ebbs and flows and seeing guys who have all achieved at the highest level and are four of the best competitors of their entire generation. I think it's going to be really fascinating. And again, I view it more as entertainment than necessarily golf. But there's no doubt it's the second time we've seen Tiger and Phil go out in a match. We know how much of a trash talker Phil can be. I think we're going to get way more on-mic moments this Sunday of some fun banter than we had this past week, and I hope that we can hear more of it.
So who do you have your money on as far as winning, if you were betting, or if you were putting juice – let's just say you were putting juice boxes on the game, on the match.
You know, it's,
who do you have winning?
You know what? Hugh, I've got juice on the game, on the match. Not for the overall winner because I'm still sort of going back and forth. I've got some prop bet action that I've liked so far. But overall, you know, I like the swashbuckling, aggressive nature of Phil. Again, it really just comes down to the unknown, and that is who plays better between Brady and Manning. And as an Indianapolis guy, you know, I got to kind of lean Peyton Manning because no one in this town will ever let me return to this town if I take Tom Brady anything. So I got to keep that in mind a little bit. And so I've been leaning towards Phil, but he's got Brady as his partner. And then the one thing you have to think about is if that medalist in Florida, and I don't even know how often Phil's ever even played medalist, and Tiger practices, I mean, it's practically like a home course for Tiger. So if you want to look at just the pros, and who should know way more about the greens and the strategy of that golf course, it's Tiger. And the other part of it, too, when I was doing a podcast with CBS yesterday, that is out today, and one of our co-hosts was mentioning, you know, keep this in mind, too, Tiger did lose to Phil last time there was a match. It was ugly on both sides, but does Tiger really want to show up and lose to Phil twice, you know, in these head-to-head sort of things? I don't know. So I think I've kind of punted back to the idea. And, again, I want to keep all my Colts fans happy that I think Tiger and Peyton get it done.
Well, we're certainly, Will Haskett, looking forward to June 11th and the first tournament here that's going to be played in the Metroplex in Dallas-Fort Worth and getting back to tournament golf. I said earlier in the program, I think, you know, the pressure from patrons and from sponsors to get, you know, good seats to watch the events, I don't imagine the PGA Tour is going to play. It wouldn't shock me if this is the only tournament without fans, because when you say fans, we're talking about a smattering of people here. But I think there's going to be so much pressure for some of these big – these people spend lots of money, lots, to be able to go to these events. I would imagine that I could see fans at the PGA fairly soon.
Yeah, right now the plan is four tournaments out of the gate that will not have fans. And then, I mean, I guess that gets to the modified schedule. I don't have it in front of me. That gets you into – July. I know that Memorial, which is near to me up here, has said that they don't foresee having a tournament without fans, but a lot of that comes down to, you know, what are the municipality rules in Dublin, Ohio, and Columbus, and then for that matter, the state of Ohio, and and where are we? You know, as everybody knows, we're day to day, really, I feel like, in this country in terms of what we feel is acceptable and what's working and where things are. I agree with you, and it's the PGA Tour is fine with or without fans because the business model is such that these tournaments are driven by these local sort of entities. But those local organizing bodies need the corporate hospitality and all the things that you alluded to sort of make not just the money for that tournament, but also for the charitable impact that these all are. So there's no doubt that they need that. But the biggest survival question of the tour, as long as there's a product that can be put on TV and they get all that rights money, you could have no fans the rest of the year and the tour itself is going to be fine. The question is, how many of these local tournaments are okay with the idea? What sort of subsidies can they get to cover it? And then what is the safe plan? Because you're right, if you had limited access and it's a couple of thousand people and you say that you have to practice social distancing guidelines, that's fine. But can you really cram 1,000 people into a grandstand and in tight bleachers? You know, can you? Most of the money comes from corporate hospitality and these party suites where people, to be honest, don't even go to watch golf. They just go to have some cocktails and be part of the social scene. Well, can you have 1,000 people crammed around one green inside an enclosed place having drinks? I mean, if bars aren't open yet, I can't see hospitality suites being open. So that's kind of that's where I have to, I don't know what it looks like with fans and if there really are baby steps to get back there.
Well, we'll certainly find out. We'll look forward to the event this weekend. Well, do appreciate your taking a few minutes. And, hopefully a good TV this weekend with the two quarterbacks and, you know, the two most named stars on the tour.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate it. Will Haskett.
Stay safe.
SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio on the WayForward.com hotline. Well, we'll find out how that works, and it is baby steps. And baby steps towards playing soccer again if you're Atlanta United. Five Stripes midfielder Emerson Hyman on standby. He's going to join the program. We'll check out with him how the workouts are going and what the next step is towards seeing the Five Stripes back on the pitch again and what he thinks of what he's seeing from Bundesliga. We'll talk with Emerson Hyman live next. John and Hugh on the morning show after this quick timeout. A reminder that radio.com is available to you free on the App Store. You can get the radio.com app just by downloading it. And if you need more information to listen to 92.9 The Game anytime, anyplace, go to radio.com/stay connected. Emerson Hyman around the corner with John and Hugh. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John Fricke and Hugh Douglas. Getting ready for a little NFL action with, Hugh, action's a relative term. Guys walking into a facility and lifting weights, you know, action's a relative term. We did see Ben Roethlisberger throw a football, though, if that counts for anything.
I saw a little bit of Ronald Acuna doing his thing. So, yeah, mm-hmm. I mean, it's you know, guys are trying to get it going.
And that includes Major League Soccer. Emerson Hyman of Atlanta United joining us on the WayForward.com hotline. Talk a little bit about workouts with the Five Stripes and kind of where we stand. Morning to you, Emerson.
Hey, good morning. Yeah, so, it's a little different, obviously. We're having to adjust, everything that's going on. But, you know, we're back in individual training and, taking all the precautions we need to. But it's definitely good to be back on the pitch.
So what are some of the things that you're able to do at a facility that you couldn't do at home?
Well, obviously, we can have our coaches out there. You know, they all have face masks, obviously, and obviously safety is our number one goal when we're out there. But, we can get a lot more done. You know, we have open space and get a lot more running done. That's obviously tough to do when you're in an apartment and things like that. So we can stay fit much easier and get more touches on the ball, which is super important.
So, Emerson, I guess, one of the questions that we all have is if you watched Bundesliga, and what did you make of what you saw?
Yeah, obviously the football was back on. It was just nice to see games being played. It was obviously strange with no fans. You know, I think the atmosphere is obviously different. But at the same time, it was a huge step forward, you know, and it's something that, you know, makes me eager to want to come back and play.
Emerson Hyman of Atlanta United joining John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. There were no fans. I get that. But it seems like, you know, maybe you could do something or, you know, have some way. Like, for example, Emerson, I was thinking, let's say that you guys play a game at Mercedes-Benz, right? And there's going to be no fans. You have that gigantic halo board, right? Why not Zoom all of your supporters onto that halo board, you know, in a gigantic Zoom meeting so that they can, you know, do the ATL chant or something, you know, and watch you guys, and you can wave at them and they can wave at you. I mean, there's some way to get people involved, right?
It's not a bad idea. I never thought of it that way. But, yeah, I would get some sort of noise in there. Yeah, I think the strange part about watching the game the other day was just there was no noise, you know. I mean, a goal was scored and it was kind of just silence. So, yeah, I mean, you have probably the best idea I've heard so far.
Sports Radio 92.9 again. We're talking to Emerson Hyman, Atlanta United midfielder, on the WayForIt.com hotline. So I know you're talking to some of your teammates. Do you guys have the similar mindset as far as it goes when you talk about getting the season back started? Are you guys excited about that?
Yeah, for sure. I think everyone's eager to, you know, you can see it on the training pitch already. Just people are eager to be out there and excited. And, you know, I think it'll move kind of slowly. But, you know, hopefully we can make strides week after week and get closer and closer to actually getting into games. I think, you know, obviously the safety is on everyone's mind and everyone wants to be safe about it and go about it the right way. But at the end of the day, we're footballers and we like to play. So, you know, as long as it goes safely and we can make strides like that, then, you know, I think games are on everyone's mind at this point.
So, Emerson, walk me through this. I mean, you're back in individual, you know, workouts. How does this all – kind of walk me through a day and how you guys do this and what you do during your day.
Yeah, so, I mean, we have obviously a big group of guys. So we go in and, you know, 6-7 players at a time. And, you know, we drive in. They provide face masks, gloves, things like that. We got our temperature taken. All the staff's wearing masks. You know, we step on the pitch. We're kind of separated around the pitch and have our own area. And, you know, we have some coaches out there guiding us on the drills that we're doing. And, you know, we're out there for about an hour. And, you know, any player will tell you an hour of individual work's usually a lot harder than team training, you know, if you're always active, always moving, and you're always at the ball. And, you know, that's, and then once we're done, we basically just get straight back in our cars and head home. But, you know, obviously that's just because of the safety. That's because everyone just wants to make sure this proceeds very smoothly. That way we can play games.
And have they given you any indication about when you can begin to work maybe, you know, as a group of, you know, two guys can work together, three guys can work together. You can go to small. Have they said any kind of timeline about when this might move beyond just individual training?
Not at the moment. We're kind of going week by week in that direction. You know, we've been told individual training for now, but that doesn't mean it'll change. It won't change next week. So, you know, I think everyone just has to stay patient and understand the situation. I think that's the most important thing. And, you know, I think if we do everything right, then the quicker we'll be able to move into those small groups and then hopefully big groups later on.
We're talking to Emerson Hyman, Atlanta United midfielder, on the WayForIt.com hotline on Sports Radio 92.9 game. Now, the weather's starting to heat up a little bit. Do you anticipate that it's going to be a little bit harder to get into shape because you guys would have been playing by now? So with this time off and the weather starting to heat up, do you anticipate there being a little bit tougher getting in shape?
Well, with the heat, it's actually quicker. You know, you know, when it's cold outside, you don't sweat as much, obviously, and it feels a little bit nicer. But obviously, when you're running in the heat, man, it's tough. So, you know, we've been out. You know, I've been out for a few days in the trainings recently, and yeah, we did some running and things like that, and you can feel it immediately. So, you know, it might be hot out there, but you're actually getting fitter. Quicker, so that's the good thing about it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see when it comes back. Emerson Hyman of Atlanta United, in that one match, did you by any chance see the match between a Bundesliga match between Frankfurt and Mönchengladbach by any chance?
I didn't see that one. I saw the Dortmund one.
Okay, so Frankfurt and Mönchengladbach start, and it's readily apparent that Frankfurt, I don't know if this mentally they weren't, are we playing a game, what's going on? They were down 2-0 in the first, I don't know, 6 minutes. They were down 1-0 in the first 45 seconds. It was like they didn't realize that this, their coach was like, guys, this is a real game, okay? You got to take it like a real, it was like they had to kind of mentally wrap their brain around the fact that they were actually playing a match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, so there was that kind of hurdle too.
Yeah, it can be different. You know, I mean, we, you know, as a player, I've been a part of, you know, training games, you know, things like that, where obviously there's no fans, there's no atmosphere, and things like that. So it could have been new to them. They could have walked into it not ready for it, you know, and obviously when the other team's ready and you're not ready, it can look obvious. So, yeah, they might have been caught napping early on, but, yeah, I think it's new for everyone, you know, in that situation. But yeah, when it's game time, it's game time.
Yeah, we're talking with Emerson Hyman as we get ready for the start of Major League Soccer. We don't know exactly when this is going to restart, but, boy, I think we're getting all anxious. And now that Bundesliga has started, it's going to be interesting, Emerson. You know, we know that the EPL is going back to training, and I think in the next 10 days or so. And, you know, there's a lot of pressure to get the EPL games going again to try to finish that league up. I would imagine now that Bundesliga is underway, you know, there's going to be even more pressure for Major League Soccer to try to get this going. So, I mean, are you hopeful that maybe we'll see games by the end of June? Is that what you're kind of hoping?
Yeah, I think everyone, obviously everyone wants the games to start back up. And, you know, the calendar is obviously shrinking the longer it goes on. But, you know, the league's goal is to, you know, play as many games as possible. So, you know, they're doing the best they can, and we understand that. You know, it's just taking all those little steps into, you know, making sure everything's done the right way and all that kind of stuff. It can be annoying at times, and you know, as players, we have to stay really patient, which is not our strong suit most of the time. But I think understanding what's going on around the world is the most important thing. And the good thing is we understand the league has our best interest at mind in terms of the game. So we just got to stay with it.
Do appreciate Emerson. You're taking a few minutes. Thanks very much, Bub.
Stay safe.
No problem. Thanks, guys.
All right, Emerson Hyman of Atlanta United. Yeah, Hugh, it's going to be Korea's playing soccer again, Germany's playing soccer again. There's going to be, you know, some pressure to get it going here for Atlanta United, and we'll see how fast they can turn this around. I'm like a lot of fans, Hugh. I'm anxious for the return now that we have NASCAR, for the return of pro sports here. But I got to check myself because it may still be another 6 weeks.
It might be a while, John, but we're moving in the right direction. I think that's the most important thing. We're moving in the right direction, and we're trying to get it going. So that's the most important thing.
Touch on the big story, which is the NFL this morning, and more. Dan Ellington in the next hour, about half an hour from now, former Georgia State starting quarterback and now a coach. Talk to him about not only his life but also about college football, because remember, Georgia State's got a date that's still on the calendar to go to play at Alabama in the second week of the season. We'll talk about that coming up with John and you on the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and of course worldwide at radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.